This morning we are going to kind of almost back where we were last week. We're going back to the book of Joshua in this ongoing study of Old Testament lessons. Today we are going to chapter 7, Joshua chapter 7. Joshua, again, the sixth book of the Old Testament, the first book outside of the Pentateuch. Joshua chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 2 through 12. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. That's good. Let's stand while God's word is being read. Let's read another interesting story here this morning from our Old Testament scriptures, starting with verse number 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there." So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Oh Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction." Let's pray. Oh, Father, these stories just keep on getting better and better each week. All these new lessons that we learn about the Israelites, the people of old, and the lessons that we can learn from them. So, Father, that's what we want to do today. There's a story here. There's a story here about this battle, and there's a story about people that we need to learn about, and there's a story we probably need to learn about ourselves. So, Father, awaken us to the lessons that we need to learn about us, about this story that we just heard today, and mostly, Lord, about you. What is it? What are the new truths you want to reveal to us? Let us depart from this place here today, Lord, learning a little bit more about truths that you are about to reveal. To you be the praise, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. This is, believe it or not, this is our 14th week already in this ongoing sermon series that I've titled Old Testament Lessons. And today's message is titled The Coveting of Achan. Achan, a man named Achan, A-C-H-A-N. And today I did something a little bit different, but I did it on purpose. The passage of scripture that I just read to you from Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 through 12, is really a passage that's centered around a man named Achan. But in those 11 verses that I just read earlier, the scripture never mentions his name. But what you just heard in those 11 verses from Joshua 7, verses 2 through 12, were the consequences of the sin of a man named Achan. So let's fill in the blanks and let's connect some of the dots here this morning and see how this Israelite loss, this battle at a tiny little city called Ai, comes at the hands of our newest Old Testament character, a man named Achan. What did he do? We're about to find out. If we were to read the chapter before, Joshua chapter 6, we would see that the Israelites have just overtaken the city of Jericho. And we talked about that a lot last week when we were talking about Rahab. All the inhabitants of the city, the Bible tells us, were killed except for Rahab and her family. They were saved. And we know this, that the whole city of Jericho had been burned to the ground. And now, moving into Joshua chapter 7, it's time for Joshua and the Israelite army to overtake the next city. Because after all, they are going to take over all the land that the Lord has promised them. This time, it's a tiny little Canaanite city called Ai. The city is spied out by a couple spies. They come back and they say this, overtaking that city is not going to be a problem. The people of Ai are few, and all we need, Joshua, is about 2,000 to 3,000 men. Let's take up there, and we can take these guys. No problem. And now we get to the story that we just read. The Israelites go into battle against Ai, but the men of Ai, they win. They even strike down and kill 36 Israelites. So we need to ask the question, how can 3,000 Israelite soldiers not defeat a few men of a tiny little city called Ai? After all, didn't we just read a story and talk about a story last week where God had provided victory for the Israelites when they went to take a city called Jericho? And what did they do to take over that city? They walked around the city several times. They blew some trumpets and they shouted. And the walls, they come a-tumbling down. Why this loss when victory, in the eyes of the human beings, looks so certain? This morning, let's meet Achan and see how he caused the Israelites to lose this battle of so many against so few. We need to go back to Joshua chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. And the Lord gives Joshua some specific commands when they are about to overtake the city of Jericho. When they go in, they are to do this. Those two verses tell us. The Lord tells Joshua, they are to take all the articles of silver, all the articles of gold, of bronze, and of iron, and they are to take them, bring them back to Israel, and place them in the treasury of the Lord. The Israelites, the people, are to keep nothing for themselves. All the plunder comes back into the treasury of the Lord. Joshua 6:25 tells us that after the battle is won, the city is burned with fire, and all these same articles that have been confiscated have been brought back and placed into the Lord's treasury. That's what 6:25 tells us. However, not everybody follows the rules. Our new friend, Achan, he decided to keep some of these items, some of this plunder, for himself. I purposely didn't read verse number 1 of chapter 7 because I wanted to kind of keep that a little mystery. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1 says this, "But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Now, wait a second. Mike, are you saying that just because one guy, one soldier, decided to keep some of the plunder for himself in this battle, that God was angry and that's why the Israelites lost that battle against this tiny city of Ai? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm saying it because that's what the Bible tells us happened. This morning, I want to give you four reasons, and we'll fill in the blanks here in a little bit. Let me give you some background first. But four reasons why this particular sin of coveting and disobedience was severe, and why this lesson is important to us as Christians today. But first, let's see, what were the consequences for Achan? We know that he did this, or do we? The remaining verses, Joshua 7, 13 through 26, the end of the chapter, give us the details of Achan's fate. And that's okay if you're sitting there reading it, because it's great, interesting reading. But let me kind of sum it up for you. Joshua knows, because the Lord has told him, that someone has sinned, but Joshua doesn't know who that someone is. The next morning, Joshua is going to gather all the people together, and the Lord says that the Lord will show who the guilty person is. Verse 14 of Joshua 7 says this, it is going to be determined by lot. Now, I want to just stop there because that's kind of important, because there's something I want to bring out here. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Saul. And Saul had this, remember he had an incantation done at this city of Endor. And he said he tried getting together with God. He tried three methods. God did not reveal himself through dreams. God did not reveal himself through the prophets. And God did not reveal himself through the Urim. U-R-I-M, through the Urim. And I said real briefly when I said that, what is the Urim? And in the simplest terms, Urim is this. It's the casting of lots. And that's how they determine a lot of their decisions. They cast lots. It was called the Urim. And in this case, the Lord was going to determine who the culprit was by the casting of lots or by this thing called Urim, U-R-I-M. Just a little history there. So the lot is cast, and it breaks it down into tribes and whatnot. And it comes down to one man, one guy, a guy by the name of Achan. And Joshua goes up to Achan and says, okay, son, explain, what is it that you have done? And Achan, he doesn't beat around the bush. He confesses. He confesses that he coveted, and he uses those words, and he stole a robe. Some of your Bibles might use the word mantle. Same thing, a robe, a mantle. He stole 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold weighing about 50 shekels. And if you total all those things up in today's value, it's worth about $27,000 worth of stuff that he confiscated all for himself. Who's going to miss a few things when all the rest of the plunder is going to be put in the treasury? Who's going to miss it? That has got to have been his mindset. And all these items, he said, were concealed inside his tent. And they are buried, so no one is ever going to find them. Everyone, that is, except God. God knows exactly where they are at. Because God knows everything. And God didn't like what he saw. So Joshua sends messengers to Achan's tent, and they find the items buried just as Achan had said. And the messengers bring the items back to Joshua. I got to read Joshua 7, 24 through 26. Here's Achan's fate. The Bible says this. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones that stands to this day, and the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Oh my. Not only was Achan killed and destroyed, but his entire family and all his possessions were also destroyed, including the items that he had taken for plunder. Everything. It was stoned, burned, all done away with, and put up in a heap of rocks after that. Back on September 9th of this year, just a little over a month ago, I spoke to you. The sermon that day was called The Insurrection of Korah. I hope you remember that story about Korah from Numbers 16. Korah wanted the priesthood, if you remember, that was his sin, and he started an insurrection. Korah met a fate that day too. Korah and his family suffered the same fate because of his disobedience and his desire for power. Now, Korah wasn't stoned, but something rather tragic happened to him and his family on that day also. If you remember, the ground opened up and swallowed him and his whole family and all his possessions because of his sin and his disobedience. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says this: "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Some sins that may appear to be rather inconsequential, I'll just keep a little bit of the plunder for myself, can have a major impact on our lives, can and may have a major impact on our lives. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says this. This is one of those verses we all should memorize, and it's actually on the inside of your bulletin. Numbers 32, 23. "And be sure, your sin will find you out." Ooh, our sin will find us out. Just ask Achan. Just ask Korah. So let's cover here this morning the fill in the blanks we've got on our bulletin, the four reasons why this particular sin of coveting and disobedience was severe when it falls into the hands of the living God, and why and how this lesson is important for us today as individuals and as believers in this thing that we call the church. Our four fill in the blanks. Number one, they're all going to start off with because of Achan's sin. Number one, because of Achan's sin, God's anger burned against the entire nation of Israel. Chapter 7, verse 1. The entire nation of Israel. One guy's sin, and it burned against the entire nation. The scriptures tell us that the Lord's anger burned against the sons of Israel. Not just Achan, the entire nation. Every Israelite. And in this situation, when one Israelite transgresses against the Lord, the entire nation, their whole relationship of the entire nation is damaged. And how did that happen? They lost the battle against this tiny city called Ai. God's favor was not upon them. So how does that apply today, to us today? Well, we're certainly not the nation of Israel, but I think we see this, and I believe we see this in the church today. Don't we see, maybe too often, but in some cases, we see some well-known or we see some very influential pastor, that person, that guy fails because of a charge of maybe sexual misconduct or a misappropriation of church funds, And when that happens, it gives the whole church a black eye. You know, if we look at some prominent preacher today that we may really admire, and if we would see that guy fall today by doing something that he shouldn't be doing, we all kind of suffer from that. Because we're all the church. And when one falls, we all kind of fall. And just like Achan, he was an Israelite and he represented Israel. So every Christian, that doesn't have to be a pastor, any of us, all of us, we represent the church. So we need to be careful that we don't tarnish, one, our own reputations as Christians, two, the reputation of Beech Grove Church, us here, or three, the reputation of the whole global church. So for Achan, it was the nation. For us, it can be the church. Fill in the blank number two. Because of Achan's sin, his family also suffered the consequences. Chapter 7, verse number 24. Now, I find it interesting. It never mentions his wife. Maybe he didn't have a wife at this time. Maybe she had passed away. But it says this: his sons, his daughters, they all met the same fate of being stoned to death just because, could you imagine being Achan's son or Achan's daughter? Dad, what did you do? They all perished because of what their dad had done. And all his livestock, all his possessions, they were also destroyed, burned at a place called Achor. Achor means the place of trouble. And I assure you, our friend Achan ran into some trouble at this place called Achor. And I believe the analogy for us today is obvious, isn't it? How many families, this is just something to think about, how many families have been destroyed? Maybe not stoned to death, and maybe not burned, but how many families have been destroyed, broken apart because of sin? A spouse has an adulterous affair, and the family breaks apart. Somewhere in the family, there's alcohol abuse or there's drug addiction, and there's strife and there's discontent within the family. Or maybe there's a gambling problem, or somebody's very irresponsible about handling the family finances, and the family breaks apart. Or maybe there's anger issues, or there's verbal abuse, or emotional abuse, or maybe even sexual abuse within the family, and the family breaks apart. And the list can go on and on and on. Because of the sin of one person within the family, we find that the whole family becomes destroyed because of the actions and the sin of just one person. And I guarantee, chances are that you yourself, as I do, know of a family that's been shattered and has been destroyed by the sinful actions of just one person within that family. So I beg all of us, and this includes me, don't let that one person be us. Okay? Don't let it be us. Churches are destroyed. Families are destroyed. Fill in the blank number three. Because of Achan's sin, God's blessings were withheld from the Israelites, and they lost the battle. We see that in verse number five, chapter 7, verse 5. God's blessings were withheld. The only reason Israel was ever going to win any battle against any of the Canaanite cities is if God gave his blessing and had his protective hand upon the Israelites. They obey, and if they do as God says, hey, all is going to be well. But when you keep some of the plunder for yourself, proverbially speaking, which you are told not to do, the blessings and the victory just may be withheld. I will say this, and I think we all know this, that there is never a direct formula for us today that says if we are 100% obedient, that we will always be 100% blessed. No, because Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5. He says that God causes the sun, the S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good. And he says that he sends rain upon the righteous and upon the unrighteous. But personally, and I think we all have to have this attitude, that we all need to do our best to take the path of righteousness in hopes of God's blessings. How many blessings have we received that we are not aware of? Let me give you a few examples of that. Just maybe some things that you may not have ever thought of. How much money have you saved because things that you own just haven't broken down? How many accidents have we not been in because of God's traveling mercies and blessings? How many medical problems have we avoided because God's hand has been upon us? We always look at the blessings as things that we see that we get. How many blessings have we received of things that we didn't get? That refrigerator breaking down, those car repairs, those accidents that we've never been in, those medical problems that just haven't happened, when you could have stepped this way off the porch, but you stepped this way and you were safe. Had you stepped this way, you got yourself a broken ankle. Do we ever look at the things that we never see as God's blessings? On the other hand, how many blessings have been withheld because of our sinfulness and our poor decisions? Again, not saying that there's a formula that if we do evil, God puts evil upon us. I will never say that. But I will say this. Ask King Saul how many blessings he was deprived of because of his disobedience. Ask King David how many blessings he was deprived of because of his disobedience. Ask Solomon how many blessings he was deprived of because of his disobedience. And the list goes on and on and on. And perhaps we're never not going to know the answer to that question either. And that's okay. But I believe we need to learn this lesson from Achan. Do not keep the plunder for yourself when the Lord tells you to put it in the temple treasury. Fill in the blank, number four, our last one. Because of Achan's sin, Achan stole what belonged to God. He stole what belonged to God. The plunder of silver and gold and bronze and iron were to be placed in the temple treasury, in the Lord's treasury. The Lord said that these items belonged to him. And that's not because the Lord needed any of these items. Of course he didn't. It was a matter of obedience. When you go to take over Jericho, you take these items, you bring them back, and you keep nothing for yourself. Which makes me wonder, using a New Testament application for us today, I wonder how many millions, and I'm going to use the M word, the millions of dollars each year are swindled out of unsuspecting people by greedy charlatans who are masquerading as men and women of God standing in pulpits on days like today. Don't know. An individual, they give their hard-earned money to a ministry, expecting that this money that they give is going to feed the hungry or it's going to clothe the naked, when all it does is help that imposter build a bigger home or purchase a larger and a faster jet airplane. Yeah, they're all out there, trust me. Oh, here's the next one. This one's going to tramp on some toes here this morning. You ready? Ready? How many of us would rather purchase a lottery ticket or bet on the horses than to give money in the basket when it comes around? Oh, that Mega Million jackpot's worth $1.6 billion. Mike, I could give 10% of that to Beech Grove Church and would never be in financial hurtings again. Doesn't Jesus tell us to store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. I guarantee your $1 going into that basket will serve a greater purpose than your $1 at the 7-Eleven. Amen. Achan's sin, it was not good for his nation. It was not good for his family. It withdrew God's blessings, and he stole from God what was rightfully his. Likewise, we have considered the fact that our sin here today can destroy a church. Our sin can destroy our families and break them apart. Our sin can withhold blessings back from God. And our sins can place our own covetous desires above what we should give God. There's a good chance, my friends, that if and when we sin, no one from this church is going to take you out back and heap stones upon you and kill you and then burn you. I'm not going to do that, and I don't think anybody else would here either. But we need to know this. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Know this, your sin will find you out. And our sin will have its consequences. Just ask Achan. He found out the hard way. Let's pray.